Let's turn together to Joel chapter 2 today. We're going to begin here as we continue our series in Husbands and Homes, and we're looking at the picture of Christ and the church. That's the model. That was the platform upon which the home was built before the foundation of the world. God determined how the home was to operate by the picture of His Son and the church. And Jesus Christ is the example for husbands. And we want to look carefully at some of the things that the Bible emphasizes. And one of those is our relationship, men, with our wives as being one of kindness. Now, for many, many years, it has been expected of women to be kind. We want our women to be kind. Do we want our women to be kind? Sure. How about the men? Do I hear amen from the wives here? Amen. But do you know that that expectation of kindness of husbands has not been as rooted as the other? And it is troubling when you consider that there is this rise, even in America today, of what is known as Christian nationalism. And a lot of it's mislabeled because, you know, we're Christians and we're nationalistic. We love our country. It's kind of a twisted term. You have to be careful with it. But there is a church out in Idaho that has emphasized putting the woman back in her place. And the assistant pastor came out and said, we want our women barefoot and pregnant. We want them out of the boardrooms and back in the home. And they went into great detail, and he was challenged on that. He said, maybe that's too harsh. We do let our women wear shoes. That was his comment. The husband is the king, and the wife is just the servant in the home, and the king sits on his throne at the house, and the wife serves the king or whatever. You won't find that in the scriptures. You don't find that in the scriptures. It's a made-up ideal. Right? Only Christ is king. Do I hear an amen? I've never seen in the scriptures where a man in the home is called the king. It's not found there. As a matter of fact, when you study Ephesians chapter 5, the picture of Christ is one who is the Savior of the body. That's His picture. Not king, but Savior. Now, He is the king, but when it comes to the home, that picture is carefully made so that men on earth won't get confused. And yet, we've managed to get confused. And one of the areas, men, where we have lacked is in the area of kindness. Kindness. In Joel chapter 2, you remember many, many years ago, there was a Methodist preacher that said that the God of the Old Testament was a dirty bully. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. It's just picking and choosing what you want to believe about God. In Joel chapter 2, the Lord is speaking to His people, Israel, and calling them to repentance, to change their mind about their idolatrous practices, and to come back to Him. And notice what He says about Himself. Beginning at verse 12, we'll start there. Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of, everybody say the next two words, great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil, who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meal offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a feast, call a solemn assembly. And the desire was for the people of Israel to turn back to God, to repent, to change their minds and turn back to Him. Instead of rending their garments, he said, I want you to rend your heart. That is a challenge that Joel records for the people of Israel, because they were good at rending their garments and putting on sackcloth and ashes to show their mourning when they got in trouble. Isn't that amazing? The human heart is so corrupt. You know, whenever a kid gets in trouble, I'll never do it again, I'll never do it again. Trying to get out of any kind of consequences. And what they need are the consequences, because that helps them to change their mind. Have you ever heard of a deterrent? What is that? A deterrent is something that changes your mind about an action that's still yet future. That's all that is. The changing of the mind is emphasized throughout the scriptures. The changing of your mind about God, the changing of a mind about your sin, the changing of your mind about Jesus Christ, who is God's answer for your sin. There has to be that turning to God, that changing of the mind. But Joel here writes by pen of inspiration, as God himself speaks about himself, says, I am the Lord your God, and I am gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. Kindness. What's the definition of kindness? Oh, we've got all kinds of definitions. Kindness is one of those words that's very expansive in its word use in the Hebrew and in the Greek language. And it speaks about this act of the will, instead of responding this way, responding another way. Kindness is the opposite of meanness. All right? And here's where we get into trouble. Something happens we don't like. Our first action is normally lash out. Boom. All right? Instead of, wait a minute, maybe there's a misunderstanding here. Maybe I wasn't clear with my instructions. Dare we question ourselves first? This is the mentality of kindness. You question yourself first and say, now wait a minute, before I respond this way, did I not communicate something well? Did I misunderstand something? Because you have a corrupt heart too. All right, now pay attention, men. Kindness is not just a woman's area. It's the man's too. Because our God is full of kindness. His greatest act of kindness. Rather than in destroying the whole earth, what did he do? He offered his son before the foundation of the world. He said, well, he destroyed the earth during Noah's time. Think about what he did prior to that. For 120 years, who preached righteousness? Noah did. Noah preached righteousness. He preached God's mercy and graciousness. And his three sons came, and their wives, and Noah's wife, they were all believers, and they were spared and allowed to go into the ark, which is a type of whom? Christ. You can't judge God and say, yeah, he destroyed the whole world with water. But then when he did, after he spared humanity, and he placed a rainbow in the sky. Do you know the rainbow is a witness in the Bible? It's mentioned several times. God's bow in the sky. I will never judge the earth with water again, where the entire earth is enveloped. What is that? That's mercy and grace. It's pictured in the rainbow. And what has the world done with the rainbow? Given it an awful, unrighteous meaning. When it has a righteous meaning, it speaks of God's grace and God's goodness, His kindness. He could act this way, but instead, by an act of His will, He acts another way, in kindness. Kindness. So, it sets the tone at home. God is kind, husbands. We should be kind. We all should be kind. Careful in our actions and in our tone that we set. If you set an angry tone in the home, and that's your first response, go-to response, anger, lashing out. That's not the way I want it. Wait a minute. What are you doing? Is that how God works? Is that how Christ works? You say, well, Christ ran the money changers out. Yes, he did. And he was perfectly righteous in doing so. I'm not saying that we never reprove, rebuke, exhort. What I am saying is that we question ourselves before we run the emotional gamut of anger, lashing out. Stop. Stop. And think. Have I misunderstood the situation? Have I communicated unclear things, expectations? For instance, you send a text to somebody, I need you to do that. Now, what's the assumption that everybody has when they send a text? What's the first assumption? They saw it. It says on my phone, delivered. That doesn't mean diddly. What if their phone was dead? Battery was dead. What if they dropped it in the pool? You know, they find iPhones on Coldwater Creek every week. People drop their phones in the creek when they're going down. I wonder how many phones were lost with the kids when they went down the creek because their mom was like, keep your phone with you in case something happens. You know, it happens. The assumption is they got the message. I texted them. Permission to blow up. Stop. Did they get the message? Maybe not. Maybe not. Do you know that God wrote this book over thousands of years and there are still people that haven't gotten the message yet? Think about that. Think about that. There are still languages that do not have a clear statement of God's word in print. Some of them don't even have a language that has an alphabet. It's just sounds. And if it's going to be communicated, it has to be done orally. We need to be careful that we don't assume things that may not be true, and then we just blow up and show ourselves, and we pat ourselves on the back, I showed I'm a man. No, you showed you're an idiot. What? I have expectations. Yes, so does God. And he called them back to repentance. Did he not? The nation that had turned their backs on him, he calls them back. He said, I'm slow to anger. I'm gracious. I'm merciful. I am full of kindness. Repent and turn to me. That's in the Old Testament. So God is kind. Number two, the fruit of the Spirit. His kindness. Turn with me to Galatians 5:22. Very familiar. You know exactly where I'm going with this. Look, please, at verse 22 of Galatians chapter 5. Notice the lead up to this passage. Beginning at verse 19, new paragraph. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. So he's going to describe the flesh, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do these things shall not what? Inherit the kingdom of God. Right? They will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, conjunction of contrast. Right? You hear me say that quite often. Don't just read through them, but, it's important. Contrast. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts, since we live in the Spirit. That should be better translated. Not if, not a question, but since we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So what is he saying here? There's what life was before salvation, but after, but, conjunction of contrast, the Spirit indwells and he produces fruit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, translated in other places in Paul's writings, kindness. Kindness. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. The Lord makes it very clear that the old life and the new life are different. Do I hear an amen? It's not the same. And when some person is living in such a way that demonstrates the old life, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. A transformation needs to take place so that fruit is produced by the Holy Spirit within the life. A change, a radical change takes place. And one of the fruits is kindness. Kindness, not just for women, not just for children, but for men, husbands, too. So it's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Number three, think about this. Kindness is a... let's go to 2 Corinthians 6:6. Read that verse for us, please.
2 Corinthians 6:6. By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned.
Yeah, that passage is one of the most beautiful passages because it begins with this. In the first verse, use not the grace of God in vain. The grace of God makes a difference in how you live life because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in the life. That's God's gracious gift to you. Don't let it be in vain. And he talks about how the believer, he talks about himself there, about that there were times where he had to call upon the grace of God in sleeplessness and in beatings. He goes down this long list, and then he talks about how the grace of God worked in his life and brought about kindness. How do you respond when you're being beaten? How do you respond whenever you're in shackles? What did he and Silas do? They sang unto the Lord. How could they sing? Because they had Christ. They had Christ. How did they act to the prison guard when he came in and about to kill himself? Well, just let him kill himself. That's what he gets for mistreating us. Uh-huh, that's how the flesh thinks. They witnessed him. No, we're all here. And the prison guard invites him to come to his house. And what do? They treat them with grace and give them the gospel message. And his family and the household of the servants come to faith in Jesus Christ. That's the work of the Holy Spirit within the heart and life to deliver Christ in our daily walk, to make it real. It's not something you eke out in the flesh. It's something that's produced by the Spirit of God. So, the fruit of the Spirit is kindness. Number three, everybody turn over to Proverbs chapter 31. What was Proverbs 31 about? It's about women. By the way, the Proverbs 31 woman was a businesswoman. Oh, we want her out of the boardroom. We want her out of the business world. Well, you don't want her out of the Bible. Because Proverbs 31 says she was a woman of business. She had employees. She traded. She was involved in all kinds of things. There's nothing wrong with that. And by the way, one of the areas of weakness that I see in this movement is an abhorrence to the Old Testament. They don't like the Old Testament. But you cannot understand the New Testament until you have the Old Testament. You don't understand the promises of Christ throughout the Old Testament, the one that would come. And so it's important for us to understand and know the Old Testament. Let's turn over to Proverbs 31. I'm still turning. Sorry. I want you to look, please, toward verse 26. We'll read up to that. Verse 20. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing of silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates. When he sitteth among the elders of the land, she maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing. Oh, now we have a metaphor. We just learned about how all the garments that she has made, scarlet and purple and things. Now we see two things. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in the come. But notice, please, that she is kind. Verse 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Did you know that kindness is referred to as a statute? That's another translation of that word law. A statute. Kindness. It's something that's expected. You know, whenever you go to a restaurant, what do you expect? You expect to be treated well, and people listen to your order, and that they serve. You just expect that. And whenever you don't get that, there's a certain amount of disappointment. I'm never rude, even to a waitress or a waiter that's not doing a good job. I'm never rude to them. I don't want to ruin my testimony. I don't want to ruin my testimony. You say, well, I've got expectations. I want to be served now. All right? You just announced to everybody around there that you can't control yourself. You do not have self-control. What kind of a witness is that for Christ? It's terrible. Thank you. It's terrible. Do you think that no one hears you? I've actually spoken to people that were being very rude to a waitress or to someone that was taking an order at Wendy's. I walked up to a man that was just cursing and I said, knock it off. A couple of the people in the back clapped. He was bigger than I said, knock it off. I said, everybody in here's got cell phones. Guess what they're doing right now, sir? And he kind of went away. He forgot about that. He was yelling at the poor girl, who was a little teenage girl that was working there, yelling at them. And I walked up to him and I said, knock it off. I said, don't be surprised if they spit in your food. Yeah, because you're mistreating them. Yeah.
Other problems.
Yeah. They know how to get back. Yeah. You act the fool at a restaurant, they know how to make a fool out of you. But that's not how a Christian behaves. A Christian should never behave that way. Respect. Even if you have poor service, respect. Because one day you'll come back, and if you showed respect, you might be able to be an encouragement to them. Be an encouragement to them. Now, if someone is being rude to you, then there's nothing wrong with going to the boss, the supervisor, and say, you got a waiter or a waitress that's very rude, and just letting you know. You can handle it that way. But you don't have to be the fool in that regard. The law of kindness, the statute of kindness. Can you imagine what it's going to be like to be in heaven? To be before our Lord and cast our crowns before Him. And for Him to utter words like, well done, thou good and faithful servant, from His mouth. What is that? Grace? Kindness? You're not going to hear this hollering down through the annals and halls of heaven. You idiot! I gave you all this stuff and look what you did here. All God's wood, hay, and stuff. It's just going to be burned up. And He's going to wipe away all tears. Wipe away all tears.
In all the wrong places.
That's right. And in the venue today that's taking place in Arizona right now. Last night they caught a man that was pretending to be security. He had weapons, stuff like that. Who knows what he'd have done? Now he was arrested. They caught him, arrested him. He's sitting in jail right now. But what was his response going to be? I mean, he had no credentials. They were all expired. He used to be a police officer. Yes.
He's legit.
Well, I haven't heard that. I heard he was arrested.
I think I just heard that this morning. I'm not. Yeah. Affected the bank.
Yeah. But you have people that are promoting violence. And some of them, sadly, is coming out of pastors' mouths. I've had several things that I've read this week of pastors that are promoting violence against people that disagree with it. That's not the church. That's not Jesus Christ. Now, we can speak up and say, don't vote for this individual because they have this particular worldview. But we don't have to resort to violence and anger and craziness. That's just not necessary. And so this woman distinguishes herself because she follows the law of kindness. So we see that. Is it saying that the law only applies to women? Do you know that there are people that are saying that? It only applies to women. It doesn't apply to men. Men are the alpha males. They don't have to do that kind of stuff. No. The statute of kindness was established by God Himself because He is kind. He is kind. Let's move on. Kindness is love. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4. Very familiar passage of Scripture. You don't need to turn there. I'm going to read that for you. The great love passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'll start with verse 1. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, we talked about that on Wednesday, right? And have not love, I am nothing. That is strong. That's strident. You may have all the things, knowledge, prophecy, faith. You can have all those things and not have love, you're nothing. That's what Paul is telling the Corinthian believers there. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. There's our word. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Love is kind. We're to love our wives. By the way, the word love that she's there, translated charity, is the word for agape. Okay, it's a matter of the will. Instead of acting this way with my will, I act another way in kindness, self-control. I question myself before I open my mouth. You know, there are events that happen every year around the country at youth football games and soccer games and basketball games and where people lose control and they start screaming. And then they go on social media afterwards and say, that's not me. That's not really me. And everybody's got the video footage of him doing it. No, that's you. It's an inability to own what we just did. Last year, shots were fired over at the Bellevue Park at a football game, youth football game, because they didn't like the referees and their team lost. And so what do? They go grab their weapons out of their vehicle and they start shooting up. Nobody was killed, thankfully. But it's that rash anger. Love is kind. And it works for both sexes. Not just for the women, it's for the men too. This is the kind of teaching and preaching that we need to have today that we're not experiencing a lot of. Kindness is commanded. We talked about the law of kindness, but let's look in the New Testament. You say, well, it's just an Old Testament. No. Let's look over to Ephesians for just a moment. Looked at several passages, but it's good for us to look to the Word of God. And we look at chapter 4 and verse 32. This is memorized by our kids every year in the elementary school. Verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now stop for just a moment. Two thoughts are presented. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit. That means you're what? You're saved. You're a believer. And then what does he say? And grieve not the Holy Spirit. Was Paul wrong to say that? Well, it's not possible for Christians to grieve the Holy Spirit. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit until that day. You're a believer, but you can behave in such a way that it grieves the Spirit of God. How is this so? Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now what is Paul saying here? Again, the contrast of the former life with the new life in Christ. You're sealed by the Spirit. Therefore, there's the work of the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Let this be true, and let this other stuff not be true of your life. Malice, bitterness, wrath, all of these things, anger, clamor, bitterness. That's supposed to be put away in Christ, in Jesus Christ. You got to recognize who you are. Who you are. Do we behave like joint heirs with Christ? Or do we behave like a redheaded stepchild? If you got red hair, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. John's going to throw a hymn book at me. But you know what I'm saying there. We're not behaving like children that don't belong to God. That's the whole point here. And be ye kind. That's the first thing he says in response to the other. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And then we have this beautiful picture of Christ's atonement on the cross. Christ, the substitute, the vicarious substitute for me. He bore the hell and the judgment of sin in himself. And God said, I'm going to forgive Todd Brainerd on the merits of my son, Jesus Christ. Is that tenderhearted? Is that forgiving? Is that kindness? Yes, it is. The home is supposed to be a reflection of Christ and the church. That's what it's supposed to be. That's the standard. And what happens to standards over time? People start mocking them. Oh, they're not important. And then they just leave them behind. And then they just behave any old way. And so, I'm a believer. It doesn't really matter about all these other things. Oh, yes, it does. Paul talks about this in just about every one of his epistles. Yes.
But many churches do not teach this.
No.
So the marriages are not doing well in the church because they're not taught the principles how to be in the home. They're just not taught this.
By God's grace, we want to share several different things that need to be instructed and taught within the church. And I pray in my own heart and life that this will be the case as well. Let's go on to the next one here. Kindness is rewarded. Same book, chapter 6. We read about this in verse 8. We're going to start with verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's an orderly home. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Did you see some of the things that were released about the young man that shot Charlie Kirk? Some of the horrible things he said about his dad and mom? He was worried that his dad was going to be upset that he used his grandfather's rifle. And that his grandfather's rifle would be damaged. And so he said, my old man, probably upset that I used my grandfather's rifle, but it's the only thing I had. Disrespect. Disrespect. This was a boy that grew up in a home with standards, and the parents turned him in. When the mother saw his picture, she knew who it was. She went to her husband and said, that's our son. We got to call the police. And so they did. They called their pastor. They called the police. And they all went down together. Isn't that sad? The disrespect for authority. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is one, is the first commandment with promise. This is repeated in the New Testament. It's not done away with. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Provoking your children because you lack self-control, self-government. Lashing out. Kids are watching. Kids are seeing how it's done. Then up to verse 5 there. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service. What is that, eye service? Have you ever thought about that? Keeping up appearances, but in the heart is far from, you know. We've all been standing in line at Chick-fil-A, and they're very respectful, I have to say this. But you sometimes wonder, my pleasure. I wonder if it really is their pleasure, you know. They're all taught to say that. And at that moment,
it's AI.
AI. Artificial intelligence. Yeah, and many of them do. I know several of them by name, and that's just their nature. They're just very, very pleasant. But there's been some I've wondered about, you know, did they really mean my pleasure? You know, you're just having a bad day or whatever. Be careful about what you say. Somebody asks you, how are you doing today? And things are going great. And it may not be. Are you telling the truth? But at the same time, don't bore them with all your problems. All right? Take those to whom? To the Lord. All right? Take it to the Lord. This
conversation,
yeah. Brief. Notice, please, not with eye service, going through the motions, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Wow. Doing God's will from the heart, not the head, the heart. With good will doing service, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether it be bond or free. Because we're all one in Christ, right? Doesn't matter your status in life, bond or free. We are in Christ Jesus, and God rewards. God rewards. Picture there of rewarding kindness. That's the beautiful. So we've talked about several of these here today. And our point is setting the tone in the home. Everybody know when we hear that phrase, setting the tone, where that came from? That phrase, setting the tone? Chorister. Thank you. A chorister. They used to have what they call pitch pipes. I remember as a kid, when we had choir, Miss Ransom would come in there and she would have a pitch pipe with her. It was a circular thing. We were all required to purchase one whenever I was a music student at Bob Jones University. I don't think they do that anymore because they've got smartphones that have all those pitch type things. But you would go and beep, and everybody built from there all the parts for your starting song. So if your song was supposed to start on middle C, it would be that tone. What if they did this? How about this? Are you going to get harmony out of that? No. No. Setting the tone, single tone, and you see this at an orchestra before it starts. The orchestra master is the first violin. They get up there and they play A. And all the strings tune to A. And they go back and forth and you see them twisting the knobs and all that kind of stuff. And then the brass jumps in. All right? And usually first trumpet will play middle C. which is B flat for all the lower instruments, and depending on what instrument it is, B flat, C, whatever. And they would blend in, and you hear all these noises, and you say, oh, that's terrible. They're never going to play in tune. Well, what are they doing? They're tuning among their sections. Tuning among their sections because you tune to different notes depending upon your instrument. Now, what tone, men, are we setting in our homes? This requires taking the Word of God and looking into the mirror. Am I tolerant and permissive of evil? That's the wrong tone. Am I ugly and nasty, enforcing the rule of law? That's the wrong tone. We need to understand this. We've gotten this mentality said, well, it really doesn't matter how you do it. It's as long as you do it. Wait a minute. How you do it makes a big difference. If I'm going to take a tailpipe off of my vehicle, it's been a while since I've done that, but it seemed like I was doing it all the time whenever I was in college. We were changing out mufflers and so forth like that. And you'd have to heat it up sometimes to get them to come apart. And you had to do a lot of pounding and banging and so forth like that. That's for a tailpipe. You don't do the same thing with a spark plug. There's proper tools for that. Right, brother? Proper tool. He just finished a chicken coop. And it's a marvelous looking chicken coop. My chicken saw it. I showed it to him the other day. And they were like, what in the world have you made for us? Look at what those chickens have got. It really is a beautiful chicken coop. All right. And by the way, the chicken master is Linda. She drove off a chicken hawk with a broom. And that chicken hawk did not know what it came against. You know, it was looking for dinner and got a broom instead. Don't taste very good, do they? But, you know, you think about the tone that you set within the home. How do you act when bad news comes? How do you react when something goes against the way you think? Is it immediate lash out, anger, wrath, or is it, oh well? Both of them are wrong responses. Both are wrong responses. We have to be honest. It's like using a hammer every time. I've put it this way in the kids in chapel. You don't use a howitzer to kill a rat. What will a howitzer do? It'll destroy the rat hole, but it'll destroy everything around it too. You can run around and say, I got the rat! I got the rat! Yeah, but you don't have a place to live now because you just destroyed it. People have done that with their attitudes and their mouth, where they may have gotten the rat, but they destroyed any opportunities going forward to help in that situation. You've got to be careful with this right here. And acts of kindness. We don't want to be the pendulum way over here that's lackadaisical, tolerance of evil. Whatever happens, happens. Okay, sarah, sarah, whatever will be. All right? Singing your little song. And then there's old people over here that are just angry and carrying on. What does Christ want us to do? What did he say in Joel? I want you to repent. I don't want to judge. I want you to repent because I am gracious and merciful and kind. I want you to respond to that rightly. And husbands, bring that into the home. It shouldn't be good cop, bad cop. And we're going to talk about that going forward too. This whole idea where daddy's the mean monster and mama's the sweet, kind person. Where did that come from? It came out of the culture. It didn't come out of the Bible. The Bible makes it very clear in Proverbs chapter 1, we looked at last week, that they're both on the same page. All right? Forsake not the law of thy mother. Don't forsake the instruction of the father. They're both on the same page. They're not one being super sweet and nice and the other one being ugly, nasty, and mean. That's not the picture that we find in the Scriptures. And when we paint that picture, we're bringing our agenda into the mix, and we create problems for people in their homes. And so we have to be careful in that regard. So we're going to pick up, Lord willing, next time, going forward with some other principles for husbands. And then sometime in the future, ladies, we're going to talk about, I still have to come up with a catchy title. I got Husbands and Homes, and we got to come up. So if you want to do that, I'll give you a Chick-fil-A card to come up with a catchy title for me. Since we talked about Chick-fil-A. It's my pleasure to do that. All right. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness to us. Bless us now as we move into the service. We pray that your word would go forth in power to touch our hearts. May the Holy Spirit of God honor Christ in everything that's said and done. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.